Oh, something that I thought about. So thank you guys for holding it down for the mailbag episode.
Yeah.
Something that I thought about that I noticed was you were mentioning that you guys didn't know about the randomizer button.
Yeah.
On Netflix?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. So,
is it just on, maybe now I'm realizing maybe it's just not on the Apple TV app.
No. So what do? You have to open up an episode and then like you have to be watching an episode to turn it on. But then you go into the bottom right and it's like where you go to closed captioning.
Okay.
And it's like settings, preferences, random. And then you shove it up your butt.
Oh, you
I knew
of
you
a
were
going
to do that again.
You son of a bitch.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and CEO of Big Red Paper, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, Regional Director in charge of sales.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
You, me, bar, beers, buzzed, wings, shots, drunk, waitresses, hot. Football, Cornell Hofstra, slaughter. Then quick nap at my place and we get the kids out. No.
No.
I don't want to do anything.
Hey, y'all.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. And this week we're discussing Andrew Baines Bernard.
Zombie.
AKA The Office Pariah. The Nard Dog, the Nard Man, Boner Champ, Ace, Buzz, Drew, Pencil Dick, Moonface, Baby Wawa, Iceman, Funny Guy, Jelly Roll, King Butt, Lionel Frankenstein.
What a small penis work, small to medium.
Give it a rest, Pencil Dick. Yeah,
that's right.
I've got one that we missed. It was Turd Dog.
Turd Dog. Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one.
And Preppy Freak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Preppy Freak.
Preppy Freak, I like that.
I got a lot of Andy drops, so I'll just be I'm flushing him out.
You let him fly.
I don't know if you heard this one, but
Hey-o.
Yeah. What moment is that?
I think
Hey-o.
So it's in the Michael Scott Paper Company arc when he's introducing Charles and he's talking about how Angela has slept with Dwight and Andy has like a mouthful of bagel.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right.
This little hellraiser has slept with a number of guys in the office. That guy over there in the orange.
And then Charles says, Michael, I don't need to know about everyone's sexual history. He goes, that's perfect because we're getting to Kevin and he has no sexual history. Killing them, Michael.
Yeah. Andy Bernard, guys.
Andy Bernard.
We've gotten some messages. We've gotten some people saying, let's do some Andy. We hear people love him. We hear people hate him. We thought, it's time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Andy's one of the biggest characters on the show. Certainly for all the characters who join after season one, he has the biggest role, the most prominent role, especially through the end of the season, including being the regional manager of the mm-hmm. show. Outside of Michael, Dwight, Jim, and Pam, he might be the biggest character on the show in terms of lines and screen time and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Anyway, we're excited to dive into a major, major character. And really, really dig into
controversial character.
Yeah, perhaps. A character who changes a lot.
Complicated
the show.
Character.
Probably changes the most.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah. He's a caterpillar into a butterfly.
Played by Ed Helms, of course. We knew from the
Daily Show.
The Daily Show.
He was a correspondent.
As a correspondent.
Hangover, during the office.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so Andy joins in season 3 in Stamford, Connecticut as another member of the sales
Stamford,
staff.
Stamford, Connecticut.
Andrew Bernard made these tasteful hats, right?
Yeah.
Andy is supposed to be a small role, right? Mm. And he, of course, comes...
Small to medium.
Small to medium. He comes into the Scranton branch during the merger.
Yeah.
And he is sort of written off when he punches through the wall, right?
Right.
Jim and Pam prank him by putting his phone in the ceiling, and Andy punches through the wall and has to go to anger management. I believe that was supposed to be kind of
the
his exit from his show. And then he was such a fan favorite that they ended up bringing him back. And he became a big star in this time because of the Hangover movies. Mm-hmm. And I think he even had to miss a couple episodes over the course of the show to film the sequels.
I think that's why he is at sea for a while in season 9.
And why he had to go on one of his honeymoons another time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So let's dive into where Andy goes. So he kind of enters the show in season 3, you know, comes back, and then he's a fixture of the show all the way through the end of the show, right?
Right.
In the finale, right?
Yeah.
He becomes regional manager in season 8. And at the end of the finale, it's kind of the end. The 9th season is also sort of framed around him and his sort of descent from regional manager to his long boat trip to his
slacklining obsession.
slacklining. his failed or misguided maybe attempt to pursue fame of any kind. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Dancing and singing and celebrity chef competitions.
At any kind, at any cost.
Right. So his relationship with Carla Fern and
burgeoning
his
love of dogs. Sure.
His audition for America's Next Top Acapella Singer. I think it is. America's Next Great Acapella Star.
There you go.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you. A show just made for Andy.
Yeah. But that, like, let's talk about how his character changes.
Yeah.
That's I think the biggest problem with Andy is that he changes so many times. When he's introduced, he's really just kind of a pudgy, annoying frat boy, man child.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he's got anger management issues. We see that right away in Gay Witch Hunt when Jim pranks him and puts his stapler in Jell-O. He kicks a garbage can. He reacts violently to this.
This is in Stanford,
Yeah. And that's not, of course, the reaction Jim was looking for, so Jim kind of backs off and doesn't really prank Andy that much until he can't take it anymore, and so he steals his cell phone and puts it in the ceiling. Of course, causing Andy to freak out and punch a hole in the wall.
Jim traveling with his Jell-O molds, taking him to Stanford. that guy can make a Jell-O anywhere.
Mm-hmm. But he comes back from anger management, like you were saying, in season 3, and I guess it actually worked for him. Is kind of like he genuinely he tries to go by the name Drew
it's true now.
Yeah,
it's true.
Jim is. One of Jim's meaner moments.
Jim not taking it seriously.
Yeah,
like not taking Andy's issues that he wants to fix. Seriously.
Right when the guy gets back from anger management,
I'm not gonna call you that.
Just
come on, dude. Hey,
come on, dude. Jeez.
I spent time preparing for this episode trying to figure out where Andy's character sort of turns, because if you compare Andy in season 3 to Andy in like season 7 or season 9, right? Like his character is so different. It's so it flexes the most, or it fluctuates the most, right? In season 3, he comes in, he's very brash, he's very confident, he's very competitive, right?
Thick,
you know? I'm going to be number 2 in this branch in 6 weeks, right? How? Mm-hmm. Name repetition, personality mirroring, and never breaking off a handshake, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's a different guy than at the end when he and Pam are on sales calls together because they have the lowest sales records of the people
totally,
on staff.
Totally,
For a guy who was regional director in charge of sales, how does he get painted as a bad salesman, a few years later?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out when that happened. And the closest I can get was anger management. I think that's the biggest turn that we have because, he starts sucking up to Michael a lot less, right?
Yeah.
He stops trying to bully Dwight out of his position, right? Or try to sabotage Dwight.
No.
And then, of course, after that, his personality changes because of his relationships, right?
Right.
So Angela, that didn't do a lot of good for his psyche, right?
Yeah.
The way that took hold and ended, right?
Certainly not.
Yeah. And then we see him be really lonely, right? We have the ultimate battle between the Nard Dog and crippling loneliness and despair. and then his relationship with Aaron, right, and things like that. I don't mean to gloss over Andy's entire arc, but just to say that his character changes so much, it's hard to find the moments where it actually flips.
Going back and watching season 3, early season 3, I was realizing that season 9 Andy is a character that I really don't enjoy. And I think that some people agree with me. But
I think most would agree with you.
Yeah.
They really don't help him out. Yeah.
And that's but I wanted to understand really why. Give it a name. Like what is it about him that we really don't like? And I think that there is actually a little bit of that care. I used to think like it's just totally recreated. It's like as if, Ed Helms, like his ego from you know, the fame of The Hangover and stuff like that is now seeping its way into this character. Andy's a little sure of himself. Andy doesn't really care what people think of him anymore. But that is a little bit of season three Andy. You know, he is kind of a jerk and takes things badly and stuff like that. But we want to see Andy care what people think about him. And for whatever reason, that's what we lose in season nine.
I think it's in some ways he's, by the time we get to season eight and nine, Andy's really similar to Michael, just without having a job that kind of defines his who he is. Mm-hmm. Like Michael as a regional manager is a huge part of his identity. He's the leader of this family, right? Andy kind of comes in and he struggles with the same issues Michael does, which is he's clearly really cares about people liking him. He's probably had a hard time making friends his whole life. He just seems that way.
Yeah.
The way he grew up pretty isolated. He's clearly from a very wealthy family. He doesn't connect with people that well. Yeah. People just don't like him because he's a spoiled rich kid who's just sort of, you know, went to Cornell and that's all he talks about.
There's a deleted scene in season seven where he's like, sales is kind of hard for me because growing up, if I wanted something, I would write it on a list and our housekeeper would bring it back on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Or that line he has about, you know, I didn't like... Oh, he says it in the job fair, and he does sailing. Oh, he didn't like golfing lessons, so he switched to sailing club.
Right.
It's just the most, like, oh, my God, dude. Like, who are you?
Or, like, when he's in weight loss, when he's like, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my whole life. I've not had a very hard life.
What a wonderfully self-aware moment for Andy. Yeah. I think Andy does share with Michael the sort of neediness factor, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what makes him, from a writing perspective, the right manager to put in season eight.
Yeah.
I think I do think, to your point, he cares about the branch, I think, but less than Michael, right? Mm-hmm. For Michael, you know, that was his second home. It was a family, right?
Yeah.
And Andy, I think, still has a connection, but not nearly that same level, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he did, he wouldn't leave in the way that he did. And
right.
I think the problem with Andy, the thing that makes us turn on Andy is that sort of absenteeism, right? And then when he comes back, there's all this success when he's gone, right? Aaron feels really sort of abandoned, right?
Mm-hmm.
You emailed me four times. You retweeted me a lot, but... You know,
yeah.
Right? The characters aren't that willing to embrace him because he comes back. And there's a scene when he comes back to accept his bonus checks or all of his paychecks and this bonus check that they got for exactly 3 months, the last quarter, all of this time that he was not here.
Right.
Right. So there's this element where Andy, you don't want to root for Andy in that moment because he's not treating the other people around him very well. Right?
Yeah.
And he expects them to cover for him.
Well, his sense of entitlement becomes unbearable in the last few episodes. And I think that's why people, I think, really hate him in the last few episodes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it, I think, also has to do with the way he treats Aaron. Like, Aaron is such, like, for the audience, I think, Aaron is this, like, person you really care about. You want to protect her. She's so pure and funny.
Right.
And
she's great as, a sideline character.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, they're giving her a real story.
She has so much sunshine in the show. And then Andy just starts acting like a dick and ignoring her and treating her terribly.
Yep.
And everyone's going to turn on Andy. No one's taking Andy's side.
No.
And he's entitled. He comes back. He expects people to just like him. He expects that he should get that money. It's ridiculous.
So there is a scene. The episode, I believe, is Couples Discount, when they're all going to have this one great big last bossless day.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy comes back. Day early.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting in the conference room and they're talking about, you know, whether or not they should tell on David Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron says, come on, guys. You know, he's been through a lot, number one, which is true.
Yeah.
And we all used to love him, right?
Yeah.
Which is also probably true, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So, like, let's figure it out, you know, what we're going to do. And basically what they decide to do is they're not going to tell David Wallace, but they're not going to stop him from telling David Wallace himself, right?
Right.
At the end, and Aaron tries to break up with him right there. Like, he doesn't even give... You know, she doesn't entertain Andy any longer than that. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what she does, she can't do it, even though she's like, I don't love you anymore. And he's like, I've got love on my side.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, my parents were never happy at the same time.
Yeah.
And he gives this really sort of terrible look at their future where he's maybe if you fake it, it won't feel any different for me. And then maybe it'll come back for you. Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, okay. And then she goes to Pete and she tells Pete that she couldn't break up with him, and Pete says, I just want you to be happy. So she runs back in, and she says, you know, I'm sorry, Andy, we're done. You were gone for 3 months, and then David Wallace is on the phone, and that's how the beans are kind of spilled to David Wallace, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we're jumping back and forth a lot within Andy's timeline, but that, I think, is the big flip. Because then after that, you know, David, like, Andy decides that he doesn't need this job anymore. He's going to try to become famous, right? And that is what happens in the last few episodes of season 9, leading into the finale.
I think, but we have to talk about season 9 so much because it has so much gravity over Andy's character. It's just this like looming, you know where Andy's character ends. So it's hard to talk about him at the beginning with knowing how he ends. But, you know, he wasn't always that way. And
he
I think even before that, like season 8.
I think season 8 is a season of Andy.
Yeah.
It is. Well, there's several times that the staff of Dunder Mifflin comes together to make Andy feel good. And like end of garden party, the end of Andy's play, like. Mm-hmm.
The incentive when they
that's what I was gonna say. Yeah,
these are times when the office rallies around Andy and says, "Hey, like, chin up, like, you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself, and it's okay, you know." And I think when you see how his parents treat him, it's completely understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And when the staff sees, you know, the way his parents talk to him, it's just like, oh, Andy's got some issues. Like, Andy's never been a happy person, you know.
They overhear him. Like
his dad being
what was that
care that you're the branch manager of some rinky dink paper company?
Oh, I love Josh Groban as his brother.
So
that's
good.
Great.
And there's that
Meredith.
Yeah.
Like, bye, Jim. Bye, Pam. Yeah.
This must be your lovely wife, Pam. Bye, Tuna. Bye, Pam. okay, but I think what we're kind of all expressing here is, you know, we're kind of grappling with an unhappy ending for a character who we pretty much, I really like Andy all the way up until season 9 when he kind of burns all of his bridges, poops on David Wallace's car, right?
Yeah, he burns everything.
Oh, he burns he says to the people in the singing competition, Aaron Rodgers, Santi Gold, and Clay Aiken. burned all my bridges. I slept in my car last night. I did unspeakable things with Carla Fern. and I took I went to the bathroom in my boss's new car, and Aaron Rodgers says, flag on the play.
wow. We got Aaron Rodgers for one line.
We're grappling with kind of an unhappy end. And then, look, let's acknowledge as well that in the finale, Andy kind of turns it around. He does receive.
Yeah, he does.
Right? I saw Sean's reaction to me talking about the finale. But Andy does receive fame of some kind. He has his dream job at Cornell, right?
Yeah.
And he exits the show being like, I used to think about the good times with my old pals, my a cappella group in college. Mm-hmm. And now I have my dream job at Cornell, and I feel the same way, but I think I'm my friends from here.
I
wish you could tell the good old days when you were in them.
Yeah.
Somebody should write a song about that. And that's his last line. It's a very nice, hopeful note for
Andy. That's a great line.
But, like, I think we are all grappling with this really hard to... It's hard to like Andy completely when you have this kind of bad chapter at the end.
Yes.
One that's so self-imposed and one that affects the other characters in the office so negatively.
Mm-hmm.
But we spent so much time on 8 and 9. Like, let's try to track it, right?
Yeah.
So let's go into season. I think we should, if you guys are open to it, let's go to season 4 and talk about Andy and Angela.
Yeah.
Or season 3. I think
I was going to start at the return when Oscar comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the episode when Michael realizes his... When Dwight leaves and works at Staples is that episode. And you see Michael grappling with, Andy is not who I thought he was.
What a great moment that someone actually is giving Michael Scott the attention and...
my business.
Yeah.
Well, and as Michael says, on paper, we should be best friends.
Yeah.
We have the same top 10 movie list down to the number.
That's right, because he's a yes man. No, when I say I don't like something, he says he doesn't like it too.
I think
he used to do that with Josh and Stanford all the time.
He could be
doing that with me.
To sort of reset the chronology, right? So Andy comes in season 3.
Yeah.
Right. He is butting heads with Dwight for kind of a while, right? And then leading into this, traveling salesman and then the return.
Right.
He kind of engineers this scenario where playing off Dwight's attempt to coup,
mm-hmm. I want the branch.
Right. Dwight can't admit that he drove the forms up to Angela.
Yeah.
Right. So in the return, basically, Andy has muscled Dwight out into Staples, right? Mm-hmm. But it's actually kind of a pretty big victory.
Yeah. Like,
when you
huge.
Think about,
oh, massive.
Yeah. Right. And then
he does it very, like, he's very conniving.
He's methodical about it.
Yeah.
He has this thing. He's like, what's that thing where you, Michael, what is the thing? Somebody told me this story where
you betrayed Dwight.
Dwight and tried to take his job. Basically, we're a terrible person. And Michael says, no.
You have it backwards.
Yeah. You're remembering it wrong.
Yeah.
But to your point, when Dwight comes back into the fold, right, Andy becomes a little bit more marginalized in terms of that plot dynamic. He's no longer trying to muscle out Dwight, really, you know.
Well, when he comes back in safety training, Dwight shuns him.
Oh, yeah.
And he is still, that doesn't seem to bother him at all. Or, I mean, he doesn't give up on trying to be Dwight's friend. it's like a part where Dwight asks him to get the bouncy house for Michael to jump off the roof onto. And so Dwight says, I'm temporarily unshunning you. And he's like, thank you so much. And he's like, I need you to do something for me. Anything. And Dwight's like, okay, calm down.
Havesies?
Yeah.
Holesies.
Yeah, right.
I think too, like, I don't mean to backtrack, but let's make sure, let's acknowledge that Andy was so annoying that he made Jim miss Dwight.
Yeah,
correct.
And Michael be like, I can't believe someone has so little situational awareness. self-awareness, right?
Yeah. makes Michael hide behind his door in his office as Andy is prowling around looking for him.
What's that reporter's name? Mar something? Andy is like Mar something.
Yeah.
Like, all Michael ever wants is someone to be looking for him, hang out with him. And he's just
I annoyed you with my friendship.
Yeah. It's like the fact that Michael runs from that is amazing.
I mean,
but anyway, I bring that up because that does set up everyone sort of has to reckon with who Andy is in there. And then once Dwight comes back, and then Andy, this is sort of where we get to. I think people's problems with Andy is he's trying to figure out, who am I now? For basically from here on out through the end of the show, it seems like. And there's some times when he's actually says he's really questioning who he is.
Well, you got to feel bad for the guy.
During gossip.
You know, I think that he learned a lot in anger management. I think that that actually helped him. There's even a part later where the second time he punches the hole in the wall.
Angry Andy, season 8.
Aaron's like, maybe we both can go to anger management, and he's like, that'd be great. I'd love for you to meet some of the guys. So I think it actually.
And you must be Marcy. Yeah.
Yeah. A thought that I had was like, God, I would love to see the lost episode of Andy at anger management. That would be a good one.
Corporate is sending me to management training. Anger management.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. It's always weirded me out that woman's like smoking a cigarette outside of. I don't know why. It's like, it makes sense. Then she turns around and starts walking into the building. I'm like, oh, got to put out that cigarette.
Put that thing out. Yep.
Yeah.
A big takeaway for me in season 3 for Andy, and then leading into early parts of season 4 pre-Angela, is how little screen time and how few lines he actually has. Mm. Not that he doesn't have any, right? But I think of season 3, I think of Andy a lot. Right. And the fact is, his presence is so strong. His character is so confident, and he delivers so many laugh lines. You know, it's a roomy twin. We can share it if you want. Right. Like, he has so many little lines like that.
Yeah.
That it feels like. Right? He has so many lines that it just feels like his presence and his influence is maybe bigger than his screen time or his actual like lines given or the involvement in major plot lines actually portrays, right? He's the only character from Stanford to get an introductory monologue in the merger. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the people coming back. I think Jim, you know, talked about, I guess this was in Branch Closing, where he's like, it's like going to your high school reunion and seeing everyone. They're like, oh yeah, now we live with you. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's but,
like, oh, it's great to see you
but
guys.
But Andy is, you know, the one who comes in. He's like, you know, I'm one step ahead, like a carpenter building stairs, right? But we don't get any insight for Tony, Hannah Smotridge Bar.
No.
Stairs.
Yeah. Or Martin, you know, or even Karen.
Even Karen, yeah.
We don't get that sort of insight into their characters. It's just Andy, right?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about Andy leading into season 4.
Andy is afraid.
Yeah, he's, let's see.
Let's
start
with those nipples.
Fun run. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just want to mention he's used as one of the managerial candidates at the end of season 3. He's in the Beach Games episode. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. We will be Team USA. Pam, please write down that Andy's patriotic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has one of the all-time great physical comedy moments in the show. And I think one thing prepping for this episode is how underrated Ed Helms' physical comedy really is.
Yeah.
Where he's the giant guy in the
talking
sumo suit
yeah.
with the tiny little rag, like shuffling down the side of that rock.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Going down the bank, falls in.
Or when Kelly is like, I'm near the big rock. I know I'm near the big rock, Andy. And she's like, you're not, Kelly, you're nowhere near the big rock. He almost gets angry again.
Yeah.
But let's jump ahead to season four, where he's in Fun Run, and he has the nipple chafing. Right? That's his, he's drafting. He said he walked 2 marathons. So yeah, I can do a 5K, right?
Yeah.
Oh, really quick, last physical comedy moment I just thought of is when, I think
there'll be several physical
three,
comedy moments.
When he goes up to the receptionist desk and his legs are split really wide.
Oh yeah, wide stance.
That still makes me laugh every time.
When Jim sets up Pam for the, like gives Andy all the wrong info about Pam.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, that's fit.
Hunting, frisbee-based competition.
I mean, sexy high falsetto voice.
I'm just thinking about the return, too. When
you know I came on my hood.
What does he say to Jim on the phone? He's like, Andy horny.
I'm so horny. Yeah. Well, I can help you with that. I'm so horny, too, now.
Hey, and this is Stanford. Hey, you see that girl over there? Yeah. Pretty hot, huh? Totally crazy. Steer clear, Big Tuna.
Head for open waters.
the amount of usage they get out of the tuna in a game is so good.
When he's large tuna. Yeah. Have you seen my cellular device?
Probably sick of tuna.
Got him. 185 pounder.
Yeah.
Got my rod.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, season four? This is going to happen a lot. This is going to happen a lot.
I know. Yeah. We could just keep going.
Well,
Lady Matuna.
Then he pours that half bag of popcorn into the bag. It's like not all popcorn. Damn it. All right. Season four. Andy starts pursuing Angela. Right.
Launch party.
He does.
He is able to get the ice sculpture.
He procures something made of ice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I stole it.
He finds the cat in the
he's
feral barn cat.
He's finding a lot of good stuff around the Scranton business park.
He tries to scratch Angela's back. She's not having it.
No. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And Kevin had Greek food for lunch again.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that, because that relationship pretty much, I mean, that's Andy, that's basically Andy's main thing all the way into season six. So, but in season four, when he's pursuing her, like, why do you think he's going after Angela?
I think
because it doesn't seem like, it never seems like.
You have to go back to, like, who Andy is. Like, he is always going to be trying to impress his parents, right? Mm-hmm. He's always going to be working toward marrying
being
someone,
respected
having
by anybody, really.
Having a family, having a respectable job. So I think he does like Angela, but I don't think that matters really. It's more that, you know, she's attractive, she's smart, like
she's single,
they're in a relationship, and that's enough. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
In the business trip episode, Oscar asks Andy point blank, "What do you see? What? How can anyone stand that one? Like, what do you see?"
See a hard exterior shell with a little bit of jelly in the middle.
And he says, "I'm gonna get some of this wrong," but he says something like, "She has the softest skin I've ever seen. She's making me a better man." You know, like little things like that. Right. So it doesn't make a lot of sense, and you can tell that like he is just, you know, he's lonely, right? That the loneliness is something that Andy grapples with, you know, in season five and six, following the Angela relationship as well, right? And I think he's looking to someone who's right next to him, you know, who sort of reciprocates or at least responds in some kind to his attention, right?
Yeah.
And they get so much comedy out of Andy pursuing Angela while she's sleeping with Dwight, you know, and Andy just, you know, the whole, like, how do I speed things up, get to first base? You know, Angela's keeping Andy on the edge for so long. And it just builds and builds and builds.
Well, then, of course, season four ends with Goodbye Toby, the big party that they throw for Toby.
Andy's other parents.
Jim puts down money to get fireworks so that he can propose to Pam.
There's a Ferris wheel.
and Andy, again, clueless, real like to that to that. You know, Jim might be trying to do something with Pam.
That who, shot of Toby when he's just looking around at the party that's being thrown because he's leaving. That, like, everyone's forgot that this is for Toby.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, yeah. And
yeah.
Toby's just like, I can't believe this.
I think it's important, or for me at least, it was interesting to view this relationship, Andy and Angela, from the perspective of Andy, right?
Yeah.
Because when you watch the show, you're really looking at it like, you know, you see Dwight framed or like portrayed so kind of forlornly. Is that
forlornly?
A word?
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Or he's very lonely, right?
Yeah.
He's pining for her. He goes to Phyllis to try to get advice from Phyllis. Dwight
yeah.
does. And we always kind of were set up to believe that Dwight and Angela should be together, right? They sure. were set up that way the first few seasons of the show. Dwight ruins it, of course. And in that Goodbye Toby episode, Dwight says, well, it's my own fault, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, to view it from the perspective of Andy, who is, you know, a terrible fit. Like, their relationship yeah. is a terrible fit.
It's
even
awful.
Though they, you know,
so
we, yeah. we can look at why they got together, but we can acknowledge that they are not destined for long-term
no.
success.
No.
Right? And the show kind of goes out of its way to show a couple moments where Andy and Angela actually do have, like, a nice connection.
Yeah.
Right? Like, where Andy...
it's only a couple moments, though.
No. Right, it's very small. There's one yeah. where he says, like, you know, sweetheart, I will marry you anywhere. I'll marry you... what's the... Here it is. So, sweetheart, just so you know, I don't care where we get married. I'll marry you right here in this building. I'll marry you in the parking lot. I'll marry you in the eye of a hurricane in the middle of a snowstorm on top of a monsoon. All I care about is that we're going to spend the rest of our lives together.
Mm-hmm.
So he has, like, this nice quote, and Angela gives mm-hmm. him a kiss and says...
A peck.
Yeah, and she says, I know I haven't made this easy on you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're little
She's
things
She's on
like
her
that.
Way to go
yeah.
sleep with Dwight, and then
right.
I think doesn't.
Right.
There's another one at the when Dwight, this is jumping ahead a little bit, but when Dwight engineers the scenario where they go to Shrewd Farms and they get actually married with mm-hmm. a German
right.
Mennonite
right.
minister,
yeah.
Angela comes back, and Andy is sitting at his desk, and he looks over at Jim, and he says, hey, tuna sandwich, meeting you, right? He takes a big bite of the sandwich. And then Angela comes, like kind of bursts in and
yeah.
kisses him, like this long, awkward, closed mouth kiss. She gets up and wipes her mouth. And then
yeah.
Andy has a talking head where he's like, how hot was that?
That's so perfect. Oh, that's great.
Reminds me of the, we've been doing a lot of necking.
Yeah.
We just sort of rub our necks and like. Hey, don't get me wrong, it's hot. But,
yeah.
You know, how do we get to first base?
Yeah.
Angela put us back to first base. What's first base with Angela? I get to kiss her forehead.
I mean, as it said in the show, I mean, you know, Angela's not really a risk taker, and Andy's not really a risk.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
yeah.
a very good encapsulation of it.
That's
and that's the explanation the show gives for
yeah.
why they are together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as we go, like... Looking at that relationship from Andy's perspective was kind of an interesting way to view the show, right?
Yeah.
To watch season 4. And leading into season 5 when they all find out, all the characters in the show find out, leading into the duel,
yeah.
right, where Andy and Dwight finally face off.
Well, I just love so much, you know, that everyone knows except for him.
Mm-hmm.
There's that episode where, you know, Michael really wants to tell him.
It's at the beginning of the duel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're all trying to figure out, you know,
Michael is leaving on a business trip.
The way Michael takes the burden, like he assumes it's his burden to tell Andy.
And Jim's like, don't do this. And he's like, it's all too late. It's already done. It's like, no, it's not.
It's just amazing.
Andy,
it's
walk
amazing.
With me.
Yeah. Yeah. Tells him with a rolled up window.
Yeah.
Huh?
I love when, like, there for a little bit, there's this thing where Dwight is trying to kind of cuckold Andy, or he's, like,
yeah.
alluding to the cuckolding thing, right?
Yeah.
When he buys the Xterra from Andy.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
that's right.
I paused it on the flyer, and I want to read it to you because it's pretty funny.
Okay.
So he's selling the Xterra, and Andy writes, low mileage, pristine transmission,
uh-huh.
and then he writes, airbags, anti-lock brakes, air conditioning, AM/FM radio, mirrors, windows, character.
A character.
First, the character was the first thing that caught my eye.
Yeah.
And then mirrors and windows was the other
yeah.
thing. That really
mirrors
caught,
and
that
windows.
The car has mirrors and windows. Because then when Dwight resells it, he
Racing
has the strip. Same flyer, the
yeah.
same wording, except
oh, really?
For the price changes.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, my right. gosh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe Dwight would have won the duel if Andy had still had the Xterra.
Hmm.
Couldn't have snuck up at him silently. You know?
Yeah, the hybrid. He's the Prius.
I mean, Oscar gives him credit, you know? Smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Pushes
mm-hmm.
him right into the hedge.
In Weeds, they do a drive-by with a Prius. because it's
Weeds.
Silent.
Wow, I haven't thought about that show in a long time. Was that on Showtime?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That was another time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they must have, when they reframed Andy's character and he comes back from anger management, you see this a lot in in season 5, where he's often presented as like this, he's on the other side of the spectrum from Dwight a little bit.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, you know, who he, just like his background, who he is, what he's capable of.
They're and it both comes to nerds a head, in their own way.
And but it comes to a head in the duel, and this is one of a few times that Dwight sort of asserts his manhood by saying that his opponent doesn't have land and can't protect. You know, you can't protect her. And so like Andy's this perfect foil to Dwight because he's completely ineffectual in all the ways Dwight sees himself as, you know, this strong man.
And they yell at each other. They yell at each other's characters while they're like, you know, Dwight is man.
When's the last time you saw Baron Scranton? Yeah.
Dwight, last year, idiot. Dwight is literally in the bushes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Swinging a chain.
Right.
Thrashing about like in his natural habitat. Andy is perfectly protected in his little bubble of a Prius.
Yeah,
right? Andy is honking the horn and just kind of mess with him. You know, and he says like you know, exactly the point about bears, right? Like who do you think you are? Like
and
what do you
like,
even
I think Dwight makes a comment about singing and he's
and he hits the car with the chain and he says, "Oh no, trust but I'll take care of that," right?
Yep.
And then finally it gets to, "I don't understand. How could she be sleeping with you this entire time and only sleep with me twice?" Right. Mm-hmm. And Dwight says she was sleeping with you, and then basically that's the end of the duel. Both of them are so upset that
they
come
just
up
realize,
and they split it off.
Yeah,
Angela, the real loser.
Yep.
Yeah. The second time she's had some people duel over her.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I think it's like John Mark and John David.
That was in our trivia for
one
Angela.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Boy, then, the Angela episode was. That was like a fourth. No, that was like
it was a while
was
ago.
A sixth episode. Yeah.
But after that. You know, there's not nearly the same sort of animosity between Dwight and Andy.
Yeah.
Not at least until later seasons when they're vying for the manager job or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's almost these moments where they're portrayed as friends. Do you remember when they're both dressed up as hunters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're like miming out, shooting birds and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
They have the brief moment when they're singing Country Roads together. That's
so
earlier.
But even leading into that in season 5, They're about to go, like, Dwight says to Andy, like, let's not have a whole Angela situation again.
Right, because they're going to compete
Aaron. They're both, drawn to Aaron. Yeah, exactly. So
it's great because then they do start competing over Aaron. Mm-hmm. But during that, as they start singing Country Road to each other, or to her, they just slowly turn towards each other.
They get into it. They get into the song and forget about Aaron.
And then their friendship prevails.
There's a
and
lot
then
of,
Toby shuts it down.
There are so many subtle moments like that in the show in general. But like, so yeah, like you're talking about them turning towards each other and not looking at Aaron.
Yeah.
This, so when the episode is, it's in season 5, I think. I'm going to get the episode wrong. But they're about to go look at Shute Farms as a potential wedding location, right? And Dwight, all of his focus goes to Angela, and he's saying, like, we can cater to your every need, you know? You will have our undivided attention, you know? And
he's tirelessly.
He's focused only on Angela.
Yeah.
And Andy literally like slides his head into frame. Like it's so funny the way they
it's
frame
so
it.
Good.
Like, yeah.
He says some little comment there too. That's
Dwight. You will make us so happy.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're always safe with me.
Do you know anything about film? I know everything about film.
That's right at the beginning. That's right in the merger. Yeah.
Yeah. I should have played that a lot earlier. I forgot it was on my drop.
Okay. We're gonna jump around a lot. We already have. Yeah.
That's what we do.
I'll check the web.
As we think about, you know, another Andy moment that maybe, now that we've kind of talked about the Andy-Angela dynamic, right?
Mm-hmm.
One standout sort of episode for me was when Andy and Kevin assemble the five families.
Yes.
It's in Survivor Man in season 4.
Okay.
And basically, it's a moment where Andy and Kevin go to Michael and they're trying to get Michael's help. And, you know, Michael says, I can but won't, should but shorn't. What part of shorn
don't
you understand?
Yeah.
Right. So Andy and Kevin have to do it themselves. And it's one of the first involved stories from Andy. Other times he's a lot of the times along for the ride.
Yeah.
At least earlier on when he's in the show. Mm-hmm. He stands up to W.B. Jones. He literally stands and prevents W.B. Jones from walking out of the room because he says, let's be back in an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when the two of them you know, the five families guys are like, come on, guys, like, give them back their parking spaces or whatever. And then Kevin and Andy both walk into the room, and Andy says, I did it, and Kevin says, we did it at the exact same time. And then maybe one of the best moments from Andy in the whole show, he's doing the robot in the parking lot while the construction vehicles
are driving out. That's so good.
And here's what he says. Did I do this for me? No. I did this for the little guy, for Joe Sixpack, the guy who wakes up every morning in his $400 a month apartment, wonders how he's going to pay the mortgage that month, wonders how he's going to fill his car up with oil, wonders, how am I going to pay my kids' orphanage bills? That guy shouldn't have to wonder where he's going to park. Yeah. Let's unpack that for a moment. Okay?
Yeah.
Yep. His $400 a month apartment, wonder how he's going to pay his mortgage.
Right.
You don't have a mortgage.
Right. Right. No.
Wonders how he's going to fill his car up with oil. You don't have to fill up your car with oil. Not every month, right?
Right.
Wonders, how am I going to pay my kids' orphanage bills? Why is your kid in an orphanage?
You have a child.
You are paying the bills.
And like, you're paying the bills.
Three of the like least self-aware, common man understanding comments.
He doesn't have any idea what it's like to be.
He just read all of those things.
It foreshadows when he dresses up as Pat in the Mafia episode.
Yeah, as the mechanic.
And he's like, "What? Aren't you a mechanic? Why wouldn't you put oil in the car?"
Yeah.
One of the, we see him in the mechanic suit and in Mafia. We also see, does he wear the same thing later on when he's pulling the trick with David Wallace and he comes in mopping? He's got the janitor outfit on.
I don't know.
It could be the same jumpsuit. That'd be funny.
Scene, if it's not, it should be.
When he comes back and he's doing the thing and the office is like, Andy, because he's like, no, I did. Like, I convinced David Wallace that he's coming back. And everyone's just like,
He goes too far.
It's not even sad. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, it's all true, but it's like
Jim says, what was that accent? And he's like, this morning you were drunk, and now you're not. Right?
Yeah.
He spills the soup.
He spills the soup on himself. Yeah.
David Wallace doesn't work at Dunder Mifflin.
Aaron says, and he talks about seeing David Wallace all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And
have you seen David Wallace?
Oh, no. Right? And then there's that time where, like, Aaron is trying to, like, keep the lie up, and she's like, oh, yeah, he's been taking it out on me. And Pam is like, you hit her?
Yeah.
And Andy's like, no, absolutely not. And Aaron says, but he has been verbally abusive. And Andy's like, also no, calibrate. Like, they're trying to, stop lying now. Let's stop making stuff up. Calibrate.
I'd like to just talk about Andy as...
Let's just talk about his character. Yeah,
as a song and dance man. As I think one of the, alongside Daryl, I would say, the most musically inclined person in the office. Mm. I think he brings a lot of that energy to the show. We once took some character quizzes, and I was not happy that I got Andy, and then retook it and got Michael, and then it just got worse and worse for me.
Then you got Gabe.
You got Gabe, and it's just like, and then we took that other one.
Then you got Kenny, Roy's brother.
Yeah, that's the worst one. That was after I went on jet skis this summer. That one we took that's like the flow chart one, you texted out in our group thread.
I've seen that.
Yeah. And I think I got Meredith in that one. That was my favorite one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Anyway, all that to say is, I believe you said, Edwin, it was like, I would have chose Andy for you. You know, you're like performative and sing the songs. And Andy he's so performative. He takes every little, like, and that's probably why I was so horrified to get him, is because I find myself slipping into accents all the time.
Oh,
my
gosh.
M'lady. Like, all the sorts of things Matuna. He does, I find myself doing a lot. And Ed Helms has got to be like that in real life, right? Because the way he does it so natural in the show, it adds a lot. And it makes him annoying in such a realistic way. Of just the way he's singing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
The way he will dance. Even just the clothes he wears.
Like, oh, yeah.
He's just made to just be like that guy in the office.
Please leave a message.
But clearly a good singer.
Because my waity has such particular impossible to predict. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes no need use words, but need for talk. This is when he's trying to get Kevin to use complete sentences again, right?
And
I can't have people thinking that I hire babies.
Yeah, no.
You said little Andy has a boom boom tummy. You want me to say my irritable bowel syndrome is flaring up because things can get real adult real fast? He's like, and then they get to Michael and Andy doing the Elvis voice. Thank you a lot.
Thank you a lot.
Thank you, baby.
But his sort of kind of drama background really comes into play fantastically a few times, which
Sweeney Todd episode.
You brought up one of the funniest Andy like physical comedy moments when he's, you know, going down the embankment in the sumo suit. I think his funniest moment just from comedy wise is this one.
Oui, oui, monsieur, from the Wisconsin region, a nice firm cheddar. Yeah. Also from the great state of Wisconsin, an aged Parmesan. Here you will find a cheddar style spread, which has reacted nicely with the air to form a light rind, which I think you'll find both challenging and delicious. At that point, I would recommend you take a quick trip south of the border to the great state of Illinois, where you will find this fine blue cheese dressing.
Blue cheese
so good.
If I may be so bold, it's a lot of fun to let the goldfish take a little swim in the blue cheese. Bon appetit.
And then as he leaves the door, he gives a little little wide-eyed look at the camera. Yeah. It's like brilliant.
It's
Matt
so
Holmes
good.
I only played that because I was really debating of what the opening quote was going to be, the other one.
Oh, that one's so good.
I had to play that.
Yeah, love that.
And as you know, speaking of the music sort of aspect of it, even though we all think, you know, all the characters in the show think Andy is insane for trying to pursue this dream, right?
Yeah.
He comes in, you know, and he's burnt his bridge, right? He's got David Wallace to say, get out. Like, they're all, they've told, you know, Erin says she's worried Andy might starve, you know. And Andy's gone back from quitting to coming back as a salesman to know he's going to quit. And he comes back with his guitar and he says, Lorelei and I would like to say farewell. And they're all like, Andy, you could just leave, man. They're like, you don't need to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And he plays that song that I think it's a Sarah McLachlan song, right?
I will remember you.
Yeah. We should figure that out.
Yeah.
That's. Like, that's such a great performance, you know?
Yeah.
And it really shines, and it really hits a lot of the characters hard. Like, it hit Angela really hard, right? Angela is like, it's just a really nice song. She's, like, talking to Dwight.
Yeah.
Dwight leans over to her and says, are you okay? And she says, it's just a really nice song. You know? It's meant to be a sweet moment.
Yeah.
But basically, like, that's one of the few where Andy shows himself his musical talent, and, like, they can actually enjoy it, and they can actually, you know, let it be. As in the Sweeney Todd episode, Andy's play, when Erin is on the, or Pam calls Erin to see how Cece is doing.
Yeah.
And she says, it's actually really nice to hear Andy sing in the right context.
Yeah.
In the right context. Right. That's great. I mean, we didn't even mention, too, like, when.
It is a Sarah McLachlan song.
Nice. Oh, good. Yeah. When Andy, you know, asks Angela to go out on a date with him, he has his buddies.
He does that
gag where he's got multiple phones
ABBA,
on speaker.
ABBA song, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-ba, mm-ba, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you
change your mind.
Yeah.
That's the line.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me.
Take a chance, let me go around.
If you got no place to go, if you're feeling down,
oom-ba, oom-ba, oom-ba.
Yeah.
If you're all alone,
when the pretty bird
sing, honey,
I'm still free. Take a chance on me.
Take a chance.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Take a chance on me. What did she say?
I don't know. She hasn't said anything.
That was good, guys. We didn't plan that.
That was okay.
We didn't.
In the moment.
Considering we were not planning on doing this.
I
didn't know how long it would go. No. You were right, though. That was okay.
In the moment, though, that scene like still blows me away. The execution on Andy's part to pull that off and how perfect the harmonies are.
Yeah.
It helps to have some friends who can sing like that.
Yeah. I wonder if that's really even possible to do.
I always think that too.
Like, there's a delay
on the phone.
That's true. Right. Yeah.
And they hit it like their timing's just like
it's
perfect.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
What'd
she say?
I love when if we're just talking about favorite times when Andy sings. I love also
we're at that
when,
point in the episode. Yeah.
I also love when he and Pam are on their sales call.
Oh yeah.
And it's like apple bomb drilling.
Sweet duo doo
doo doo doo. Yeah.
What about this one? Rig it, get go.
Rig it,
get. Give me the beat, boys, and free my little soul.
There's just something about the musical earworms that he's really good at leaving. And yeah. I feel like everyone who watches The Office, those are really, really going to stick in your head. Yeah. And I feel like everyone will sing little Andy Bernard things under their breath sometimes. Yeah. I do. I don't know if you guys do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. it's impossible not to. And ever since ever since we put this in, you know, when we listen to voicemails, it's just always in my head now.
Yeah.
You guys sang that Dobie Gray song. I was thinking of a different one, which is where he goes, "Rig-a-g-g-goo, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon." Right?
Yeah.
That's the other one where he just jumps into it like that.
When he
love me,
I was just gonna say that moment, and then of course during the CPR scene, when he takes it up a notch. Because they start out, those are not the same song when she's like, "Stay Stayin' Alive." He doesn't start singing "Stayin' Alive." He starts singing.
First I was afraid, I was petrified.
That's what Michael sings.
That's "I Will Survive."
Yeah.
Well, you can tell by the way.
And then Kelly starts dancing.
Yeah. One of the best uses of the full ensemble.
And Andy really goes for it there. It's fantastic.
Or during the merger when Michael's trying to do Night at the Roxbury.
That's right.
And can't get his boombox to work. And so Andy just launches into the song. I can't remember.
You, me, you. Yeah. But yeah, he just has these little injections of musical. Consider yourself at home.
At home.
He sets that up by saying.
What about closing time?
He says, "Oh, closing time.
Yeah, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here."
That's true. Andy
Stanley comes in.
Yeah.
Closing time. He's like, "I did not know that song, and when I heard it, I did not care for it. But when I hear that song, I know it's time to go home." So now it's my favorite song.
I cannot wait to do a Stanley episode. I'm so ready to do a Stanley episode.
That would be great.
At some point.
The other thing is, I mean, to kind of expand on what you were talking about, like, he performs every little line like that, and every little sort of gives little flourishes. Like, there's the episode in season 5 where he talks about the episode is Frame Toby, and he's like, "Hey, Tuna, so you're still planning to buy your old man's place?" Jimmy's like, "How did you know that? I didn't even..." He says, "Oh, I saw a couple emails on your desk. I got the peepers of an eagle." And then he does this thing with his fingers and his hands. And he's like, "Whoa, you haven't told the missus about the castle? You're in for a spanking, my friend. Me and my lady got no secrets," right? This is when the duel thing is happening.
With him and
but
Angela.
Like, every little line is such a funny... In the business trip episode, which is another really big Andy episode, it's like, Michael says, "Where's my translator?" And he says... I was bidding "Bon voyage à mon petite fiance," which translates to "Goodbye, my petite fiance." And then Michael says to Jim, "This could have been you if you didn't forget your French," right?
Yeah, right.
And he's wearing a red beret for no reason.
For no reason.
Right. And then when he is going to be wingman for Oscar, he says, so he's up there as a French translator, right?
Yeah.
He says, "Mademoiselle, beer me dos Long Island iced teas, s'il vous plaît," which is like three different languages in one sentence. Mm-hmm. And then he says, Oscar says, "Don't do this, Andy." And he says, "You will thank me when they spank thee."
"You will thank me when they spank thee." Oh,
that's the thing. Like,
God.
So many little lines just fly under the radar from Andy.
That's so good.
"Not my job, not my prob. I'm going to the warehouse to polish my knob." "It's monogamy for mahogany." Right?
Mahogany.
So many, weird, random little one-off lines. Yeah. Like, that's what I love the most about Andy.
Those are so... Yes.
He's just himself, and he's having fun with himself.
He's such a weirdo, and I like that.
I just love that too. That the characters will stick up for him in season 8. We've alluded to this already, but the beginning of season 8, especially, is so much of Andy kind of grappling with his new role and the stakes of his new role. And there's a line, I think it's at the end of the incentive when Robert, he's like, "For 2,000 points, you can tattoo anything you want on the stern of the SS Bernard."
Yeah.
And Robert, after the tattoo, there's a voiceover from Robert California. He's like, "Why did I choose Andy?" He's all surface,
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, "You know what you're going to get," right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, they have the Nard Dog tattoo. And he's like, "That's my nickety name." And Jim says to Andy, like, "No one's expecting you to actually do this. Mm-hmm. That was a great idea, and we're all excited to see what your next great idea is."
Yeah.
They're picking him up,
Yeah.
And in the last few seasons, we get to see more of that, right? Mm. Even in the episode where they all go golfing, I guess this is season 4, season 5.
Yeah.
When they all go golfing, and at the end, you see Jim and Andy and Kevin all drinking a beer together. And Pam comes in. It's job fair.
Yeah.
And she's like, beers, you guys closed it? But like the fact that they're sitting together and talking and hanging out
yeah.
is something that isn't yeah. portrayed uh-huh. in early seasons.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Andy mm-hmm. is sort of a big piece of that, right?
Yeah. What about when they go to Gettysburg when DB does?
Oh gosh.
DB.
Yes.
Or DM does.
I really like that episode.
Yeah.
I do too.
There's yeah. I mean that is I like that episode too, but that's an example of something that they kind of get into a bad habit of later where like every other episode they have to like reaffirm like
Andy?
Andy gets some sort of speech from somebody.
It's the first six episodes of season 8. It's like that's how it completely. That's how
yeah.
it goes. Yeah.
I mean,
I guess the flip is in Lotto when Andy picks up Daryl, right?
Right.
Right.
But I think that's a consequence of the way season 7 ended. When you have six people or I don't know, I mean I'm exaggerating, but it's Daryl, Dwight, Jim, Andy who can all be manager.
Yeah.
Right? Plus outside hire, whoever that can be. We have to grapple with the fact that not all of them got that. And where do they all land, right?
Mm-hmm.
In season 8, Dwight is explained by, he's like, I do Krav Maga twice a week. I do meditation at
yeah.
sunup and at sunrise.
Yeah.
And he's like, I do martial arts. He does all this stuff. And that's how he has dealt with the stress. Or the time when he like gives up and he's like making brownies in the kitchen.
Right.
And he's mm-hmm. like, should I add walnuts or no? And then he does pour in walnuts, and Kevin
yeah.
is watching from
and
the window.
Like,
and
he's like, no!
When he adds walnuts into the brownies.
Walnuts.
Yeah.
yeah.
He's like, you want the job? It's yours. Now do the job. Right?
Yeah.
So they all have to deal with that, right?
Yeah.
And Andy has to kind of navigate. And at the end of the Lotto episode, he kind of asserts himself, where they go into the warehouse, him and Daryl. They're about to hire the new crew, and they poured grease all over. Why is there grease all over the floor? Why
yeah.
is my pallet jack in the wall?
Yeah.
And Andy says like, no, Jim, tell us why it's called that.
That is like right. the moment yeah. when he like starts becoming like an asshole manager, I feel like. Mm. Or that's the first sign of it.
I disagree. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I disagree a little bit just because like that's who Andy is supposed to be in this role. He's supposed
right.
to be.
He's a heel. Yeah.
He's supposed to be in charge, you know?
Right.
Like he's, you know, and they've
But he
done
hasn't
a,
earned that really.
I mean, he got the job, right?
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
He did. He went to Cornell. That was big reason why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But well, he, you know, he's just in a tough place at that point in the show because, I mean, think about the task in front of the writers of the show, which is like, well, we can't make a copy of Michael Scott because no one can do that,
yeah.
like Steve Carell. Robert California, like, that was a whole different, interesting kind of chemistry, but for some reason they couldn't make him manager. So
yeah.
you needed somebody.
They couldn't make him manager. It wouldn't have worked.
I disagree. I think they could have, but
I don't know.
Well, we'll do a Robert California
personally.
Episode, so.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
I think he is so much better as the executive figure, as the Jan, as the David Wallace,
right.
as the Ryan, mm-hmm. than he would be in the day to day. You know.
Yeah,
he needs to have all the power.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like he can't have someone delegating to him.
That's kind of why I thought it would have been funny to. Well,
see that a little
my
bit.
Reason why I think it could have worked is a longer mm. theory that I think could have played out, which
sure.
I think we talked a little bit briefly about. I think he would have been a con man the entire time.
Right.
But
we can save it.
Yeah, we'll save it.
Robert
stuff.
Deserves his own episode.
Yeah, another one I can't wait
Robert
for.
Robert California, let's have a podcast episode.
Let's have a podcast episode. But it's just a tough thing. What do you do with Andy? You can't have, like, Robert California has such a massive energy to him. Michael had such a massive energy to him. And you have to have this person who's just middleman kind of being pulled from all sides. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a hard job for that character to really flourish and be what it was because mm-hmm. it's being asked a lot of being asked of Andy there
yeah.
in his last two seasons. It's just hard to maintain.
Andy gets a lot of talking heads in those early episodes in season 8. And he's like, I've got to hire a new warehouse staff. I've got to do this. He's like, I'm mm-hmm. the one who has to do these things, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's a funny moment where he, like, pushes all the stuff off of Jim's desk so he can sit cross-legged on
it. Yeah,
right.
yeah.
Right.
There's just a lot of Andy trying to figure out, you know, like, how does he keep going in season 8? Like, mm-hmm. he's got to impress his parents. He's, you know, trying to impress Robert. Like, all these things are happening all at once, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a lot to deal with. And then And then the Florida arc happens,
yeah.
right?
Right.
That's the other thing that happens in season 8.
Yeah.
He's not as involved in that arc outside of, you know, driving down to get Aaron. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I feel like the part when he's going down to get Aaron, you're like, finally, like they're going to get past Andy being this insecure weirdo. And then
yeah.
he just messes it up
yeah.
so bad.
Yeah.
And that's another reason I think I hate Andy by the end. And a lot of people do. It's mm-hmm. just like, dude, you just sabotaged yourself.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Even though, I mean, even still, I like that Andy more than boat trip Andy in season 9. That, I mean, yes,
boat trip
he's messing stuff up,
I mean,
but he's trying at least, you know.
I've thought about this, like, where, so if we can agree that we don't like the ending of Andy, even if maybe the very last sentence is one that's positive and hopeful and, you know, like feels like it's giving the character some sort of fulfillment, right? I think we all agree that those last episodes are pretty tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there was, I was trying to think of like where you could end it, Andy's arc in a way that would feel really good and true to the character.
Garden Party.
I actually think, it's the episode where he's just about to get onto the boat. Where, so Pam has a talking head where she's like, so it's right after the Here Comes Trouble episode in season 9. Mm-hmm. It might be called The Boat. But anyway, Andy is dealing with the fallout, and Pam is like, we're all surprised because Andy has been so competent, right?
Yeah.
They're like, he's like talking to all these people. I mean, he calls, he's selling off things from the family estate. He's figuring out how to get money so that his mom can survive.
Liquid assets.
Yeah. Liquidating things. And they make the decision to sell the boat, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, he's like, I can't sell the boat. Like, I spent all my summers there. And Aaron says something to Daryl, like, didn't you have a place that, like, you used to work in when you were in high school that you really loved? And he's like, I used to work at, like, an auto mechanic store or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I bet you wouldn't sell that for anything in the world. He's like, I would if I was broke.
But, you know, month-long trip with Josh Groban on the high seas. Come on.
But
to the Bahamas.
The sort of the competence, number one, the fact that he's out, he doesn't need his family anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
The fact that he's sailing off to some new adventure.
Yeah.
And that, like, he's kind of taking care of his family business and now seems like a, you know,
yeah,
a little more, like, he seems like he's on to bigger and better
things.
He's
not the same,
right?
Yeah.
And then that spins out of control because he doesn't come back for 3 months and, like, all these things happen after that. But, like, if the show had ended with him leaving on the boat,
mm-hmm.
like, that would have been a good way to end, or if that timed out with the finale, that could have been a good way to end Andy's arc.
Right. Yeah.
That
yeah.
He's on his soul trip.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it totally. Seems like, just like with Michael, as he makes his exit, he kind of fills out as a person. You know, he learns a lot of lessons. He becomes a better person, and then he leaves because that's not what we want to watch. You know, I don't want to see a bunch of people who know what they're doing and know how to behave and things like that. It's only interesting when we see when the characters are flawed.
Yeah, everything's breaking down,
and and they have. They want things that they can't have, and we watch them struggle to try and get those things. So I think you're right. He could have just disappeared until the end of the show at that point.
Mm-hmm. I've got another thing about Andy.
Yeah,
I was going to say, let's do some other, just one other
let's
random
keep it moving.
Andy
let's
moments.
Keep it moving. Yeah. I love, so many great Andy moments happen in brainstorms, conference room meetings.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I am chopping off Phyllis's head with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Ringing, ying, ying.
How about something with a little more
zing and
a little more pep?
Right. Michael comes in and he's got the wet concrete and he's like, what should we do? And Andy says, draw a picture because it's worth 1,000 words.
Right.
Yeah. or break me off a piece of that. Like, that's when they're doing the local ad brainstorms, right?
No one tell them.
Yeah. they're trying to come up with golden ticket ideas. And he says, golden girls, golden grams. I don't get this.
Yeah, exactly.
and then he's like, I'll drop an ethics bomb on you. Would you steal bread to feed your family?
Yeah.
Boom. He's
boom.
Like, yes, Andy. That's what Oscar says.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I took intro to philosophy twice.
I love when he talks about, like, his college years. I mean, we know that he probably got into Cornell because of his
family.
In
a deleted scene, you hear that he was waitlisted, but then they let him in when his dad donated a new building.
Walter Bernard Hall.
Walter Bernard.
I had to write a daily op-ed column. Bernard's regards.
Yeah.
This was your freshman year?
Yeah.
Right. I walked right out of Walter Bernard Hall.
Like, there's no way that, like, he's like, he hated doing that or something like that. It's like, why? I'm sure no one asked him to do that.
No, I'm sure the deal was like, all right, you'll give a new hall and let him write a column or something. And, like, you know, I think going to Andy's college days is such a huge... I mean, the fact that Andy's name was changed out from under him and Walter Jr. was given to his brother because his parents thought it would he'd be better suited
better
to the family
fitting
name.
To the name. Yeah.
That is brutal. And, like, that alone should give us a lot of
empathy.
That should give Andy a lot of leeway to be as messed up as he is, because, man, that's tough.
It's like what I mean, I think Daryl says it in the
when he was six.
Yeah.
I think Daryl says it when he's in the garden party episode. But
if I had parents like that, I'd be trying to show people how cool I am too.
Totally. Yeah. Like that. The garden party episode to me is like, that's, I think that's one of the nice, like, that is a possible nice ending point for Andy. Not that you could really end him on the show there, but just that is the tone that, like, that you spend the whole episode of him exploring his psyche with his family and how much he wants to just be respected by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally gets it at the end. And it's a really nice just little moment before they cut away to all the fire dancers.
Right, right.
I also love I love how eager Andy is whenever anyone suggests anything. I love when Michael pitches him to be an investor by Serenity by Jan. He's like, I've heard it, and I'm in. Right? Yeah. Instantly.
Done it, thought about it, I'm in.
Yeah. Or when Andy, would you like to have my baby? And he just gets up and starts going to position when Dwight is going to have the watermelon. He's like, Andy, would you like to have my baby? Yeah. Like he, and then when they're going to go golfing and Andy is putting all the lotion into his hands.
Got a lot of blisters.
They're like, Andy, are you ready? He goes, giddy up, let's do this. So many like little lines that like you forget, like you, I think we take them for granted because he delivers them so much and so often.
Another really quick one, good physical comedy moment too, is just his look on his face when Michael's leaving, he's giving stuff to everyone and he gives Andy all of his old clients.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Andy on the phone later and just be like, guys, I lost
Border Hardware.
I lost Border Hardware. And the look on Andy's face as he's losing clients is so funny because he's like, this is inevitable. I'm going to lose it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He like hands him the folder and he's just like, oh.
Are you sure?
Andy's in a good place in season 7 because he's not with Aaron. Remember, Aaron is dating Gabe for a lot of his time.
Yep.
Yes, I'm still dating Aaron. Why do you ask me that so often?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's grappling with the fact that he's not a great salesman. He's got this real challenge to overcome. Mm-hmm. And he does it with the seminar. Michael shows that show of faith in him when he gives him all the clients, right? Like, that's a positive development for Andy that maybe doesn't foreshadow him becoming manager, but it is something worthwhile for him to kind of aspire to, right?
Yeah.
To getting better at in season 7.
Mm-hmm.
How far is the Earth from the sun? 93 million miles.
Yeah. Shut up about the sun.
Shut up about the sun. Shut up about the sun.
It's really intense.
There's a guy running around with a dog in the parking
lot. He's chasing the dog.
It's a cute dog.
I don't know if he's playing with the dog.
He was playing with it, I think.
It's attacking him now.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Yeesh. Anyway,
getting real ugly. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Any other favorite Andy moments?
Yeah.
I've a couple little things. We'll keep Andy's response to a lot of these little calls and challenges. Like, it's on like a prawn who rides at dawn. Or something like that. Well, why does everything have to be rhyming poetry? Seriously, the simplest thing. That's what Dwight says. He was like, or it's on like a prawn in Bhutan or something like that. He says later on, right?
There's a place.
The whole bit where he's showing the movie to.
Oh, yeah,
Jim and
Pam.
Mrs.
Albert Hannaday.
A lot of
Hannaday.
Good comedy moments in there.
So maybe
when
I'll
his
be...
head, when he's sitting there and he goes, Jim and Pam are catching things, going way over my head. And the way he drops to his fist, almost sideways.
Yeah.
It's so well done.
I should be a critic. Right?
Yeah.
These muffins taste bad.
Yeah.
That art is bad.
Yeah.
I have this written down. When the hourglass strikes 3, then in the room whence employees confer. What are you talking about? Meeting in the conference room at 3. It's Dwight's interview for Cornell, where Andy is his interviewer. Or like when Dwight is going to be the manager in the job episode, and Andy is the only one who signed up for an interview to be his number 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he is talking to Angela, and I think it's about like if you're looking for a dinner, or if we go to dinner, it's not in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't exactly remember what happens.
He goes, again.
Again.
Not in the box.
Not in the box.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, how do I get Angela to notice me? I moonwalked past the county like 3 times. I don't know, man. We've gone on for a really long time, and we could keep going. Nice. Like, Andy gives us about as deep a well as anyone who isn't Michael.
Yeah,
to kind of dig into in terms of like weird little lines and performances and responses.
I'd say Dwight's
situations.
Number 2. Whatever. It's, I guess it's personal opinion.
I just mean like every line that Andy says, you know, like, here's one. The tall man entered the nice building to visit a very nice man. Sit down, Mr. Smith. Can I interest you in some good cat food? It's a man eating cat food. And then he says, what about a cat eating man food?
I never got that.
Every little thing that Andy says is so funny.
Oh my
tuna,
God.
Tuna, tuna,
tuna. Tuna,
thin sliced tuna, tuna carpaccio. But you're sick of tuna. You have it every night.
Yeah.
Large, big tuna, large turkey.
Yeah. Large turkey.
That's Ryan. That, yeah.
Didn't tell the missus about the castle.
You're going to get yourself a spanking, my friend.
I mean, my only real
hot. Steps in the manure twice.
Yeah.
Why is that in the kitchen?
Yeah. Right, I love that part. I do. I will say, too, I love that part where he's as Dwight and Angela are having a very real argument about the fact that he just actually married the two of them. Andy is just playing catch with Moe's off to the side.
Oh, yeah.
And then Angela's like, come on. And Andy's like, we're leaving? And Moe's just hits him in the head with
the football. Yeah. Right, yeah.
My only hot take that I wrote down was just like, in season 9, Andy gets over his constant need to please everyone or to fit in or to please the boss. And that's when he becomes unattractive and uninteresting to us. We love to see Andy struggle with managing his anger or try his best to impress someone. When he loses that, he becomes totally boring. But
that's an interesting perspective. I think.
He just becomes boring.
Yeah.
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 I mean,
and we really don't care about his issues. That's
no. I mean, he's a jerk and all these other things, but he was back in season 3 too. You know?
Where Michael loves that the office so much that it takes the love of his life to make him leave it, right?
Yeah.
And Andy definitely has some sort of affection for the office, but when he gets through sort of his own whatever his needs are around getting affirmation from Robert California or the people in the branch or whatever it is, to your point, he's like, all right, I'm kind of done with this place now. You know, he doesn't have the same sort of roots that Michael does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Woo! Today's trivia, I was going to base on Angry Andy. Although I didn't quite get enough questions out of watching that, so I did just kind of let this ride, and we'll go into Fundraiser, season 8.
Okay.
So, but we'll start with Angry Andy, season 8, episode 21. What's the cold open for this episode?
Angry Andy?
Yeah.
The cold open for Angry Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know if I...
Not a prank.
It's not. I was going to say the tearaway suit.
No. Nope.
I was going to say tearaway suit.
Asian Jim? No.
It involves season Phyllis. Eight.
Oh, is it when Phyllis is listening to the iPod thing?
No.
Listening to 50 Shades of Grey?
No, it's raining.
Oh, it's a cliches.
It's raining out. Phyllis says like a dozen cliches.
Makes me want to curl up with a good book.
Right.
That's the last one. Nice to me today.
Yeah. Plants are really going to love this. Is that the question?
Yeah.
The next question is, what are the cliches? No.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Sorry. Dwight bobbleizes Old Salty, which is a little statue of a sea captain, and renames him. What is the new name and backstory?
For the bobblehead doll. He does this for Andy?
Yeah.
Old Salty.
I don't know.
He renames him Captain Mutato.
Oh, yeah. Captain Mutato. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Half right. man, half mermaid. He makes love like a mermaid, and I think Andy's like, or Dwight's like, I write a lot of X-Men fan fiction in my spare time. He's like, I mostly write about the mermaid part. Or something like. When Erin starts to see Andy get angry, what does she do to help him calm down?
She rubs his arm.
Yeah, she puts her hand on his arm. Erin asks Dwight for advice, but doesn't know the correct term for erectile dysfunction. Instead, she says.
A softening or penile something?
Penial softiosis.
Penial softiosis.
She's like, I don't know.
Great trivia
term.
Name.
Great
Does that ever happen penial to you? No. Washington Monument.
It's so gross.
No. Yeah.
That is such a weird episode.
It reminds me of when Andy is trying to get fired and he goes to Toby and he's like, you're going to have to fire me for groping wieners. And then he has to fight Toby to grope his, there you go, groped you good.
groping wieners.
Dwight briefs Nellie on Andy's impotence, but also briefs her on a story involving Gabe and Meredith. What was that?
I don't know. What is it?
Gabe was bragging that he has an extra ticket to the air show, and Meredith said she was interested, but then Gabe said his friend was taking it, so I'll update you on that later. Take a man's job, but leave him his balls. Who said that?
Nelly.
Nelly said it, but she's quoting somebody.
Oh. I don't know. Shakespeare?
Oh, is it?
Don't play the bard card.
Yeah.
Margaret Thatcher. Probably, she says. Phyllis never had an orgasm until what age?
42.
And it lasted until?
51.
Yeah, or like
44.
Oh,
44. 43, I got nothing done.
You used to have that. You used to play that drop. Yeah, I think.
It was magical.
Nate weighs in on Ryan versus Ravi, but why is he even upstairs?
I don't know.
We see him briefly. He's in the break room eating, and everyone's talking about Ryan and Ravi. But you see him right before that.
Is he fixing Nelly's office or something?
He's cleaning up the mess that Aaron and Andy.
Oh, okay.
Because they flip out and they're throwing the candies.
That's right.
He smashes the picture and stuff. So you see Nate sweeping all that up. Mm-hmm. All right. Fundraiser, season 8, episode 22. According to Dwight.
They're so elegant.
According to Dwight, how do all work tragedies begin?
With like somebody getting fired or like a romance or something like that. What is it?
So Andy's out in the parking lot and everyone's really worried. And Dwight's like, oh, sure. That's how all work tragedies begin. A middle-aged white male hanging out.
Okay, sure.
He could have a knife. He could have a gun. He could have a blank.
Bomb? I don't know.
I don't know.
He could have a series of guns all lined up to shoot parallel. You guess the price, you win the prize. Have you never been to a blank before?
Oh, it's like an Amish fair or something like that? Or?
A Quaker fair.
Quaker fair.
Yeah.
What is the fundraiser being held for? Animals, but do you know the name of the...
Thomas Oregon.
It's the Scranton Animal Welfare Society.
Okay.
What's the
We were looking for a kitten.
What's the name of the character based on Robert California and Andy's Rock?
Thomas Oregon.
You just said that.
Thomas Oregon.
How much did David Wallace sell the suck it patent for?
Oh, he cleared the military. I want to. It's like several million. I think.
Yeah,
like 9 million.
Yeah. $20 million.
$20 million. Wow. Did you guys see that little meme going around? That like, think about if Michael had invested in Suck It, he could have paid for Scotch Tots.
Oh my god!
Our friend of the show, Matt Hartmeyer, sent us that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, hey. Shout out to Matt Hartmeyer. Hey, buddy.
I've been seeing that. There's like a thing where it's like pictures you can hear, and it's like the intro to the show.
Yeah, the
Michael saying no.
Yeah, yeah.
David Wallace and his son playing the.
Suck it.
Yeah.
Teddy.
Yeah.
Senator Lipton gives his phone number to Oscar, Jim, and one other person.
Ryan? No.
I'm going to guess.
They're trying to figure out.
He gives his number to Oscar, and then they're trying to figure it out. So Jim tries to get his number, but then they're like, "Well, he could think you're gay." Mm-hmm. So the one other person,
Pam?
Meredith.
Meredith.
Well, Meredith.
Meredith.
Yeah, Meredith. Yeah. So they're like, "Okay, definitely not."
Stop bagging my head.
And finally, what is the name of Kevin's adopted dog?
Ruby.
Yeah, Ruby.
Yep.
She just lies there all day being a good
that
girl.
Stinks.
Such a good end of that episode.
Oh, man.
Oh, that reminds me one thing about Andy. When he comes back, Kevin has the whole thing where he's like, Andy left his milk in the fridge, and I've been taking a sip of it every day for 3 months. So it's like, hello, Andy. Goodbye, chunky lemon milk.
Cool.
He acts like he owns the chunky lemon milk. Oh, I have a follow-up trivia question.
Okay.
Okay.
That I think fits just for this. Can you guys name all the members of Here Comes Treble?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, there's Broccoli Rob.
Correct.
I remember even looking this up for the Halloween episode.
There's like a one and two.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Carl 1 and Carl 2.
Carl 1 and Carl 2.
Boner Champ. I mean, I guess
Boner Champ,
if you're counting him. Carl 1 and Carl 2.
Lunchbox. I used to know these.
Lunchbox is correct.
There's like a cult.
Is somebody called like Sandwich or something?
Sandwich is
sandwich.
One of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one more food one too.
There is.
There's another food one.
Meatball?
That's a good guess.
Yeah, it's like, I thought it was a meat something.
Yeah.
Spare rib.
Spare rib.
Do you want me to give you the rest?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you all of them, okay?
Okay.
Carl 1, Carl 2, Broccoli Rob, Spare Rib, Doobie, Lunchbox,
Doobie, yeah.
Boner Champ, that's me, Puby Lewis in the News, Hopscotch, Jingle Jangle, Sandwich.
Hopscotch.
Puby Lewis in the News.
Good one. Yeah.
Guys, this was so much fun talking about Andy, and for you all listening out there, if we missed anything or if you have any favorite moments that you want to tell us about, please give us a call. We have a phone number you can call. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show, 503-694-9314. We also have an email address, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter, @MichaelScottPod. And we have a website, michaelscottpod.com. A very special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and designs our artwork, and Open Signal, a community media center in Portland where we record this show.
If you like the show, please make sure to rate and review us.
Yeah.
It helps us. It helps people find the show. So
yeah,
please do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, leave those ratings. Leave those reviews. Yeah. We love and keeps, you guys, seriously, you guys have been so
amazing.
Good at sending us, in stuff.
Yeah, everybody's sending in a lot of stuff now.
It's hard to keep up almost.
It's really great.
It's fantastic. So
we try to respond to everything. You know, and sometimes we don't respond if we know we're going to talk about it on the show. But yeah, please keep it coming. We love it. Thank you guys so much for listening, and join us next week.
Pippity Poppy, give me the Zobbit.
Yes, sir.
I will remember. Will you remember me? Don't let your life pass you by, and weep not for the memories. Remember all the good times that we had. Let them slip away from us when things got bad. How clearly I first saw you smiling in the sun. I wanna feel your warmth upon me. I wanna be the one. 'Cause I will remember.
You're okay. It's just a really nice song.
Will you remember? Don't let your life pass you by, and weep not for the memories. Don't let your life pass you by, and weep not for
who knows? Maybe Andy will make it. He's not terrible.
Yeah, and people worse than him make it all the time, like Lil' Romeo.
No, he's good.
He was good.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.